We're in 1 Peter to get started today. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. I encourage you to turn there. And as we begin our Advent message series, today's first Sunday of Advent. It means we're working our way toward Christmas over the next 4 weeks. You may have noticed the Christmas trees are going up and the Christmas lights all around. Christmas songs are on the radio. They're in the mall. Christmas shopping has commenced. Travel plans are being made. And you're beginning to hear things like, the spirit of Christmas is in the air, right? Have you ever heard that phrase? The spirit of Christmas is in the air. Interesting phrase, isn't it? When we hear that phrase, we usually think in terms of the feeling of Christmas. And you know, Christmas just feels so good in so many ways. It is one of the special things about it. It's a time of giving and generosity. It's a time for family and friends. And it's a time for church and worship. Christmas carries so many memories and traditions. And so when we see the decorations and we hear the songs, we just get swept away in a wonderful feeling. And we often call that feeling the spirit of Christmas. Well, our message series for Advent this year is also called The Spirit of Christmas. But we're going to take that phrase and we're going to spin it a little differently because this Advent season, I want us to look at the role of the Holy Spirit in Christmas. You know, the Bible teaches us that God is one God who exists eternally as three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We often call this the Trinity. And although the three persons of the Trinity carry out different roles when it comes to such things as creation and salvation, all three are present at all times, and all three have essential roles. And the same is true when it comes to Christmas. You know, the Holy Spirit is sometimes called the forgotten member of the Trinity because we put so much emphasis on God the Father and on Jesus the Son. And this is especially true around Christmas time. We think about God the Father at Christmas because God the Father sent his Son into the world. And of course, we think about Jesus at Christmas. He's the central to everything. We rightly remind each other that Jesus is the reason for the season. And when we say Merry Christmas, we often emphasize the Christ in Christmas, Merry Christmas. We capitalize the words in Christmas there as a way of remembering Jesus at the center. But you know, the Holy Spirit has an important role to play as well. And so this year we're going to focus on the role of the Holy Spirit at Christmas. Probably something many of us haven't given a whole lot of thought to. We know what God the Father did at Christmas. He sent his Son into the world. We know what Jesus did at Christmas. He came into our world as a baby boy. But what did the Holy Spirit do? What does the Holy Spirit have to do with Christmas? Quite a bit. It's going to take us four messages to find it all out as we work our way through the series. So right now we're in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Please stand with me for the reading of God's word. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. The Word of God. Let us pray, dear God, as we look into this scripture passage and others. Lord, I pray that you would teach us by your Holy Spirit as we learn more about the role of the Holy Spirit in Christmas. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Most of you are probably familiar with the story, the book, The Christmas Carol, by Charles Dickens. In that story, Ebenezer Scrooge, the original Grinch, right? Ebenezer Scrooge is visited by three ghosts called the Spirit of Christmas Past, the Spirit of Christmas Present, and then the scariest one of all, the Spirit of Christmas Future. And so we're going to be borrowing from Dickens for our message titles in this series. Although, once again, remember, when we use the word spirit, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're not talking about ghosts or spooks, okay? So today we're talking about the spirit of Christmas past. The spirit of Christmas past. Because in the Bible, in fact, in human history, Christmas does not begin the day Jesus was born. The story of Christmas begins thousands of years in the past, and pieces of the story appear throughout the whole Old Testament. The Old Testament scriptures anticipate the coming of Messiah or Christ. The two words mean the same thing. Christ, whose name appears at the very beginning of the word Christmas. In fact, that's what the whole season of Advent is about. It's a time of waiting and preparation for Christmas. It's a reminder of the centuries of waiting leading up to the time of Christ's birth. So what was the role of the Holy Spirit in all this? And especially today, as we look at Christmas past, the role of the Holy Spirit in those centuries leading up to Christmas. You know, the passage we read from 1 Peter earlier reveals a key role for the Holy Spirit in those years leading up to Christmas. And that role has to do with Old Testament prophecy. And so that's where we're going to begin this morning, the Spirit's role in Old Testament prophecy. There's an outline in your worship guide that I'd encourage you to take out at this time. It'll help you to follow along in each of these points. It has all of the scriptures and a space to take notes as well. So what was the Holy Spirit's role? How does it play out with regard to Christmas? Well, first of all, we learn from the Bible that the prophets who spoke in the Old Testament spoke from God by the Holy Spirit. They spoke from God by the Holy Spirit. We see this in 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 21. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The prophets did not speak their own words. They did not voice their own thoughts. They did not offer their own opinions. Rather, they spoke the very words of God, and they did this under the supervision of the Holy Spirit. Very simple principle at play here. No Holy Spirit, no prophecy. At least no prophecy that's true prophecy from God, no prophecy that will be fulfilled as God has spoken. And so all the prophets who foretold Christ's coming did so by the power of the Holy Spirit. But the prophets not only spoke of Christ's coming, but their words were also written down in Scripture. And the Holy Spirit had an important role in that as well. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is God-breathed. And that compound word there, God-breathed, it speaks not only of Scripture coming from the mouth of God. In other words, it comes from God, but also it tells us that it comes through the Holy Spirit. Now, in English, we have three different words, breath, wind, and spirit. Right? We've got three different words for each of those. In the original Hebrew and the original Greek, those are all the same word. One word in Hebrew, one word in Greek for all three of those concepts. And so when we speak of Scripture as God breathed, we are really talking about the inspiration of Scripture by the Holy Spirit. We read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Peter writes, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation." This is from the same passage we just read that said all prophecy comes through the Holy Spirit. Now we find out that all the prophecies that were written down in Scripture are also coming through the Holy Spirit. So what's the Holy Spirit's role in Old Testament prophecy? The prophets of old prophesied through the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Scriptures were written down by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. All the prophecies of Christ recorded in the Old Testament came about because of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, he is truly the Spirit of Christmas past. So you might be wondering, well, what are some of these prophecies? Well, we could be here a long time. Okay, there are over 300 prophecies of Christ recorded in the Old Testament. But this morning, I just want to share with you three. three key prophecies related to Christ's birth. The first prophecy is found in the first book of the Bible, right after the first humans first fell into sin. Right after Adam and Eve sinned against God, God told the serpent, we read this earlier from Genesis 3, God told him, because you've done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity or hatred or hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring, your seed, and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Now the serpent here, obviously this is Satan. And so this was really God's curse on Satan himself. But God's word of judgment on Satan, right here in Genesis 3, is also the very first prophecy of Scripture, and it just happens to be a prophecy of Christmas. How will the great Satan be defeated? Through the birth of a little child. An offspring of Eve, the seed of the woman, will crush Satan's head, although Satan will also strike his heel at the cross. Where do we find this fulfillment? Galatians 4 in the New Testament speaks of the fulfillment of this prophecy. There are other places we could go, but I like this one. When the time had fully come, right? Prophecy had been made so many thousands of years before, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son born of a woman. There's the seed of the woman born under law to redeem those under law that we might receive the full rights of sons. Jesus is the seed of the woman who is born into our world to defeat Satan and to bring us into God's forever family. Another key prophecy relating to Christ's birth is that the Messiah would be born of a virgin. Born of a virgin, we read in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child. She will give birth to a son. She will call him Emmanuel. This is an amazing prophecy foretelling the virgin birth of Christ more than 500 years before it took place. You know, the virgin birth may also have been hinted at in that earlier prophecy from Genesis we just looked at, where we were told that it would be the seed of the woman who prevailed. No mention of a man's involvement there, right? Just the seed of a woman. But that prophecy becomes so much clearer here in Isaiah. Matthew in the New Testament, he recognized this prophecy as fulfilled in Christ when he wrote about Jesus' birth in his gospel. And he said, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Then a third key prophecy concerning Christ's birth has to do with the place of his birth, the place of his birth. We read in the prophet Micah, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. God literally moved heaven and earth for this prophecy to be fulfilled. First, God worked a miracle from heaven whereby Mary became pregnant with Jesus without the help of a man, the virgin birth that Isaiah prophesied. And we'll be talking more about that next week when we come to the spirit of Christmas present. So first, God worked the miracle of the virgin birth. Next, God arranged for her marriage to Joseph, who also belonged to the line of David, very important for other prophecies to be fulfilled. And then finally, God prompted the worldwide census, causing Joseph to bring Mary to Bethlehem, where Jesus at last was born. And you know, when the Magi came to King Herod asking about Jesus, Herod didn't know, so he called together the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law. We read in Matthew 2, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. They said, that's an easy one. That's prophecy 101. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied. For this is what the prophet has written. And then they quoted the prophecy from Micah 5:2, once again made centuries before Christ's birth. about Jesus being born in Bethlehem. So we have these three key prophecies, so many others we could look at, but three key prophecies relating to Christ's birth, all three of which were fulfilled in Jesus, all three of which were given through the power and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But we still have not looked at the reason the Spirit gave us these prophecies. Why did God give all these prophecies of Christ's birth in the first place? Why didn't God just have Jesus born at Christmas and then tell us about it then? Why all this preparation? Why all of these prophecies through the Holy Spirit? You know, we started off the message this morning reading that passage from 1 Peter, and now we're going to go back there. And we're going to go through it verse by verse as we answer these questions. Why did the Spirit give us these prophecies? Why was it so important that Jesus' birth was a prophesied event? And in this passage, 1 Peter 1, 10 through 12, Peter tells us three things about these prophecies of Christ. He tells us their main focus. He tells us their main content. And then finally, he tells us their main audience. So let's step through that now. First of all, their main focus was grace. Isn't that beautiful? The main focus here was grace. Look at verse 10 with me, 1 Peter 1, 10. Concerning the salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care. And so when Peter looks back over the Old Testament and the message of the prophets and all of these different prophecies, he sums it all up with one word. He says it's all a message of grace. The prophets who foretold Christ spoke of the grace that was to come to you. The grace of God is God's kindness extended to us, even though we do not deserve it because of our sin. We've all sinned against God. We all fall short of God's glory. And when did that grace come? When did it come? What were they prophesying about? Came when Jesus came. That grace came at Christmas when God sent his son as a tiny baby into our world. All of these prophecies, the main focus of the prophecies was grace. The grace that was to come to you. The main content of the prophecies was Christ. That's an easy one. Main content was Christ. Look at verse 11. These prophets who spoke of this grace searched intently, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Now, in the Bible, when you see that phrase, the Spirit of Christ, that's just another name for the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit at Christmas once again. So here we see the Holy Spirit working in the prophets of the past to make these prophecies. And we see that the content of their prophecies was Christ, specifically the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Now, when we talk about Christ's sufferings, we usually think about the cross. That makes sense. That's where Jesus suffered the most. But the Bible views all of Jesus' human life as part of his sufferings. In becoming a human being, Jesus left his perfect home in heaven, and he gave up many of his rights as God. In taking on human flesh, Jesus experienced tiredness, hunger, thirst, and pain. And so the sufferings of Christ, which the prophets spoke about, actually began when? At Christmas, when Jesus came as a baby, born in a manger, born into our troubled and sinful world. So the main focus of the prophecies, grace. The main content of the prophecies, Christ. And now we come to the main audience of the prophecies. And here Peter tells us something that is absolutely amazing. Even though the prophets searched their own prophecies for clues about Christ who was to come, even though they put time and effort in trying to figure it all out, they were not the main audience for the prophecies. The main audience was not the prophets themselves. It was not even the first people they spoke to. Rather, Peter says the main audience for all these prophecies, get this, it's you. It's you. You're the main audience for these prophecies. Look at verse 12. Peter says it was revealed to them, the prophets, that they were not serving themselves, but you. They were serving you, and they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. What was the main reason the Spirit gave us these prophecies? They were given for you so that you might hear the gospel and believe. The gospel is the good news that God sent his son Jesus into the world to be our Savior. He was born as a baby on Christmas Day. He lived a life of perfect obedience to the Father. And then he offered up his life on the cross for us. For you, so that we might be forgiven and brought back into relationship with God, our Creator. And those who preach the gospel to you today do so by the same Holy Spirit who spoke to the prophets in the Old Testament. And the main audience for these prophecies is you, that you may hear the gospel and believe. So what role did the Holy Spirit have in Christmas past? The Holy Spirit was behind all the prophecies leading up to the birth of Christ at Christmas. Christmas was not a second guess or an afterthought. Christmas was God's plan from the very beginning. As soon as the first man sinned, God gave the first prophecy of Christmas. He spoke of the one who would come to save us from all our sins. And that tells us something very important about God. God is sovereign. God is in control of all history. And here's the thing. If God can take care of all history, you can trust him with your little piece of history, right? You can trust him with your life. You can trust the Savior who was born on Christmas Day. And you can trust the Holy Spirit who prophesied the birth of Christ and now brings you the gospel of Christ. It's the same good news that the angel proclaimed that first Christmas so many years ago. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word that teaches us, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you for speaking in and through the prophets as they made these amazing prophecies hundreds of years before Christ was born. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for inspiring the scriptures, for having these prophecies written down so that we could see them now and we could have confidence and know and believe the good news that from the very beginning you planned to send Jesus for us, Christ to be our Savior. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas, the coming of Christ, the coming of grace, the grace that was to come into the world through Jesus our Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen.